Three figures in white leapt from the hovering chopper, neatly flipped once on the way down, and landed together in a dancer's crouch. Then they all rose, the movement as beautiful, smooth, and coordinated as anything you'd see at the Cirque du Soleil. Lara and her two sisters walked toward us, and they were good at it. Lara was wearing a white sundress that showed off her curves, with two black leather belts that crossed on her hips. A handgun in a holster hung from one of the belts. The other belt supported a sword, a genuine rapier whose worn handle looked as if it had seen actual use. Her long black hair was pulled up in a net, and the top of her head was covered in a white cloth, a very gypsy sort of look. She wore a choker made of pure platinum, the metal seeming to hold its own glow, even in the failing light, and a single large blood-red ruby hung from it. As she walked, it was impossible not to notice the gorgeously feminine curves of her body, the casual sway of her hips from side to side, each movement emphasizing the fact that she carried deadly weapons. And since it was raining on her white dress, it was impossible not to notice a whole lot of other things about Lara, such as the fact that other than the weapons and her shoes, it was all she was wearing. I concentrated on keeping my tongue from hanging down past my chin and forced my eyes to look elsewhere. Her sisters were wearing much different gear. Though they also wore white, they had both donned what looked like motorcycle leathers, not like the archetypal American bikers, but more like the gear you see professional racing motorcyclists wearing. It looked very high-tech and was obviously armored. In standard gear, the armor was heavy plastic, there to protect the rider in the event of a collision or a fall. I was willing to bet that it had been upgraded to something a lot stronger in the Wraith's gear. They, too, were equipped with sidearms of both the past and present. Their hair was tied up and back, and like Lara, their skin was pale. Their eyes were wide and gray, their lips dark and inviting. I watched the three Wraith sisters come and thought to myself that if there was any justice in the universe, I would get to watch that in slow motion. Alas. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Mai calmly lift a hand to Warden Berserker Gang, motioning him to stand down. It didn't surprise me. Ancient Mai had very strong notions of proper behavior and how it ought to be followed. She would never condone observable division amongst members of the council where outsiders could witness it. Lara stopped 20 feet away, and her sisters stopped a couple of feet behind her. Their eyes were on the wardens, who returned the vampire's stare with calm attention. "Harry," she said, her voice warm, as if we'd just run into one another at a soiree. "You are a wicked, wicked man. You didn't tell me I'd have to share you with others tonight." "What can I say?" I asked, turning to face Lara. I smiled at her and bowed my head without taking my eyes off her. It was a more enjoyable paranoia than I'd observed for the wardens, if no less wary. "I used to be a trusting, gentle soul, but the rigors of the cruel world have made me cynical and cautious." Lara looked from the wardens to me, her expression speculative. Then she gave them a smile that could have melted plate steel and walked to me, somehow making a swagger look perfectly feminine. She extended both hands to me as she came. I smiled in return, though mine was a lot stiffer and more artificial, and whispered through my smiling teeth, "You have got to be kidding." She cast her eyes down demurely, toning the smile down to a smirk, and breathed, "Be nice to me, wizard mine, and I'll return the favor." I don't think I hesitated very long before I offered her my hands in return. We clasped them. Her fingers were silken smooth and very cold. She smiled radiantly and inclined her head to me, a slow, graceful, formal gesture. Then, faster than I could blink, much less move, she smacked me in the kisser. She used her open hand, which prevented the blow from being a lethal one. Even so, it hit like a club. It knocked me several steps back, spinning me as I went, and I wound up caught in a drunken corkscrew that ended with my ass hitting the ground 10 feet away. "Once again, you have lied to us," Lara snarled. "Used us. I have had my fill of your deceits, wizard. I sat there with my mouth open, wondering if my jaw would start wobbling bonelessly in the rising breeze. Fury radiated from her in a cold sphere, and every fiber of her body looked ready to do violence. She faced me with the members of the council on her left, the darkness of the forest on her right. I focused on my shield bracelet, certain that there was every possibility that she might be about to draw her gun and plug me. If my brother is not returned to me whole this night, she continued, her voice cold and deadly, there will be blood between us, and my honor will not be satisfied until one of us lies dead on the dueling ground. And then she winked at me with her right eye.